All right, let's take our Bibles tonight and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And I want to share a few thoughts with you tonight. So you all know how to pray, Dr. Glenn Matthews got out of the hospital, but he's in a rehab facility right now, and want you to pray for his strength, of course, and pray that that he doesn't get anxious. Glenn Matthews is one of those guys that has to be doing something. He has to be moving, and he is not able to do that right now. And so if you folks would pray for him, I know that he would appreciate it greatly. And he's we'll try to get the address for you this week and see if we can't send some cards down for him. I did his radio broadcast this morning. He's on WCHS in Charleston, West Virginia. And that's a big station, goes all over the Kanawha Valley. And he's been on the radio. Well, his uncle started the program years ago, back in the 60s. And then when he passed away, Glenn's daddy had the broadcast. And then when he passed away, Glenn took over the broadcast and has been doing it for a long time now. I think probably since almost 1970, 69 or 70, Glenn's been doing it. And up until this last, until this morning. And then I called in to the radio station on Thursday, and I shut the doors at the office and told the girls what I was doing and not to bother me, and I hit my phone on DND, which means do not disturb, and just preached my little heart out, all right, over the phone. And it's really different because you're under the watch, you know. You got to start and then watch the clock because you can't go over. And man, that was hard. Anyway, when it was time to quit, I certainly was not done. But when it's time to quit, it's time to quit. There's nothing you can do about that. But pray for Glenn, if you will. I know he and Fleeta and the girls would greatly appreciate our church holding them before the throne of grace. All right, let's look at a couple of things here, starting in verse 1 of this 15th chapter. I know a lot of you are exhausted, and I appreciate you being here tonight. I'm not going to keep you long. But I do want to share a couple of things with you I hope will be a blessing to you. And, you know, the Bible is absolutely amazing. And what makes it amazing is the fact that this is God's Word. It's not man's Word, it's God's Word. And it's just unbelievable, some of the greatest and most profound truths that can be found are right here, simply put in the Bible, explained in detail so that even a child can understand. You know, the doctrine of the resurrection is so vital. It's so important, as I have been saying to you all this week and just about every Living Cross gospel presentation. I made the point that the resurrection of Jesus from the grave is the foundation stone. It's the cornerstone upon which everything is built. And I'm going to show you that this evening as from this chapter. All right, but look first of all at verse 1. And Paul says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand. So the folks at Corinth heard the gospel from the Apostle Paul. As you remember, on one of his missionary journeys, they stopped in Corinth and stayed there for a while. And lots of people, many people, came to know the Lord. And that's how this church was started. And so he said, verse 2, by which ye are saved, if you keep in memory. Now, you and I would understand that word if as in this way, like since, all right? It's not if you keep in memory. No, it's since you keep in memory. You're saved since you keep in memory. You don't have to stay saved. That's not what Paul is saying here. All right? He is saying, by which also ye are saved. And notice that's present tense, okay? You're saved continually, all the way. So he said, by which ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I have preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. All right? So you and I don't have to keep ourselves saved. No, that's not what Paul was saying. He is saying that you are saved since you put your faith in the Lord, since you trusted Jesus as your Savior. That's why you are saved. And look, please, at verse 3. Paul says, for I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. All right, now right there is the key. Right there is the key. The gospel of Jesus Christ, what is it? It is the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, according to Scripture. What Scripture? The Old Testament Scriptures. Isn't it amazing how David in Psalm 22 gives us the exact words, some of the exact words the Lord Jesus uttered as he hung on the cross at Calvary? All right? My God, why hast thou forsaken me? You say, oh, David was just taking a stab at it. I don't think so. No, you know the probabilities of just taking a stab at it and getting it 100% accurate? Do you know the probabilities? No, he wasn't just taking a stab at it back 900 years earlier. No, sir. David was under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit of God knew what the Savior was going to say as he hung between heaven and earth to pay the penalty that we owe for sin. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? You see, God turned his back on his own Son, and he paid our sin debt on that cross. My, what a wonderful Savior we have. All right, so what is the gospel? First of all, it is the fact that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Secondly, he was buried. All right, that's what you do with folks who pass away, who die. You bury them in the ground. All right, and Jesus was placed in the tomb. And then it says, and that he rose again the third day according to Scriptures. So there it is. Again, the same Scriptures. The same Scriptures that told us that he would be virgin born. The same Scriptures that told us that, that he would bleed and suffer and die. The same scriptures that told us all about the cross are the same scriptures that tell us about the resurrection. And sure enough, on the third day, just as he said, and just as it was written in the Old Testament scriptures, our Savior came out of the grave, according to the scriptures. What a great foundation stone is the resurrection. And our faith is built upon this gospel. Folks, you will not see here anywhere that some church died for you. It's impossible. The church, this building it's just a building. It's steel and brick and mortar and wood. That's all it is. It can't do anything to save your soul. And yet there are people who think that simply because they go to church, that's enough to save them. And it certainly is not. It certainly is not. So what saves us? The death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you will please realize how important this gospel, this resurrection is. All right, look down please at verse 11. Go down to verse 11 of this chapter. And it says here, therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believed. All right, so that's what we did this week. We presented the gospel every night. Every night. We did it through the medium of a play and music, and then an explanation of the gospel verbally. And we saw a lot of folks trust Christ as their Savior. That's what we're supposed to do. That's our responsibility. And then look at what he said in verse 12. He said, now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? Now, you know what this shows me? This shows me that there have been religious liberals forever, for a long, long time. You know, to deny basic fundamental truth. That's liberalism. That's liberalism. And what is the foundation truth of the gospel? It is the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ from the grave. And so Paul said, way back in the first century, think about it, folks, first century, this is what, 50, 60 years after the Lord Jesus was born, and 20, 25 years after Jesus was crucified, buried, resurrected, and ascended back to heaven. So in just that short a time, there's all this liberalism that popped up. You had these people, they were called Gnostics. It's spelled G-N-O-S-T-I-C-S, Gnostics. And they preached a false gospel. And that gospel was a denial of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now, it had some other fallacies as well. They did not believe in the deity of Christ, but the denial of the resurrection. In the Bible, you have two major groups that religious groups that went at each other all through the four Gospels and the book of Acts. And those two groups were the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Now, the Pharisees were a bunch of people that loved power, and they loved authority, and they loved to milk the people, as you saw Mark Ubel doing the other night on the platform here, taking the money out of the coffers and stuffing his pockets with it. All right, and Todd said, "Don't you, Todd?" The other priest, Mr. Comstock, said, "Don't you know how the game is played?" You know, well, they had a little game that they played. And it was, take from the people and pad your pockets with it. But it all had to go through the high priest. And that's how the game was played. And so these Pharisees, they did not believe that Jesus was who he claimed to be. And then you had the Sadducees. Now, the Sadducees were just the liberals of the day. There's no other way to explain it. They denied on purpose, all right? It was a part of their platform. They denied the resurrection of the dead, anybody's resurrection. They said, when you die, that's it, you're dead. There is no resurrection. Well, if there's no resurrection, we've all got a problem, don't we? Yes, indeed. All right, so they were the liberals of the day. And I probably told you this before, but it's interesting that in the book of Acts, you will read about Pharisees and priests coming to know the Lord as their Savior. They became believers through the preaching of the gospel, I might add. All right? But there is no record, not one, of a Sadducee coming to Christ for salvation. Not a one. You say, "Pastor, are you saying liberals cannot be saved?" That's not what I'm saying, and I hope you don't go out of here and say I said that. But what I am saying is, if you are steeped in liberalism, and listen, a liberal is a liberal. It doesn't make any difference if it's religious or social. It doesn't matter. All right? A liberal is a liberal. And if it's just, difficult. It's just difficult. You remember the Lord Jesus said it's easier to get through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to be saved. Well, these guys were all rich, and that's all they wanted, was to increase their richness. And so when the gospel was given to them, they saw the gospel as a means of taking away their power. And they rejected it. And that's why they hated the disciples, and that's why they hated the Lord Jesus so strongly. So realize, folks, that there have always been those who have denied the resurrection of anybody, and certainly the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now look at verse 13. He said, "But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen." All right? If there's no resurrection from the dead, then the Lord Jesus Christ is still in the grave. That's what he's saying. Now, the Corinthians, that's a city in Greece. All right, understand that. That's a city in Greece. Now, the Jews, many of them saw, or they had relatives or friends who saw the resurrected Savior. And so when they gave testimony, it would have been convincing. All right? I saw the Savior. Yeah, me too. Wait a minute, you both saw him? Yeah. And these are credible people. So when they both testify, and then their son comes up, and you look at him and say, well, did you see Jesus too? Oh, you mean after he resurrected? Sure. You see, that's good testimony right there. But these people over in Corinth, which is just outside of Athens, Greece, and they had all of their Greek mythology, and they had their temples and their idols and all the rest of it, and they were raised in that culture. And then here comes Paul preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ and telling them that they need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't believe on all of your idols. Don't believe in the false gods that are set up on every corner of your town. Don't believe that stuff. You need to believe the Lord Jesus Christ. Those idols are just that. They're dead idols. They cannot help you. But Jesus is alive. He's the living Savior. All right, you see the difference, folks? So Paul said, if there's no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And verse 14, if Christ is not risen, then our preaching vain. Now the word vain, you and I would understand the word vain to mean like emptiness. There's nothing in it. There's no power in it. But we know there's power in the gospel, don't we? I mean, we saw it this week. We know there's power in the gospel. And I tell you, that power still has power. And it still saves souls today. So if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is vain. But wait a minute. Our faith is also vain, he said. Well, I don't know about you, but I don't feel like my faith is empty. No, I don't feel like that at all. I think it's amazing that I can sit down and read this book and understand it. I think it's amazing. Oh, every now and then I'll come across something and I may not know exactly what it means, but I'm thankful that I can continue to read or read around it and learn what the verse means or what the word means. Because the Bible has its own built-in dictionary. Amen. If you don't understand a word, just keep reading. You'll see the definition somewhere in the context. It's just the way the Bible is. God knew we would need help understanding the Bible. All right? So, I'm just so thankful that my faith is not dead. My faith is alive. And I know my Savior's alive. You know how I know my Savior is alive? I've talked to him several times today. That's how I know. That's how I know. He's real. He's real and he's mine. And you can say the same thing if you know the Lord. He's your Savior. Amen. All right? Now, look at verse 15. He said, yea, and we are found false witnesses of God. Whoa. I mean, don't we preach against false witnesses? We do, don't we? And Paul said, hey, if Jesus died and he's still dead and there is no resurrection, then you're lying to people. You're lying to people. But folks, let me remind you, God cannot lie. Amen. And so we preach the resurrection. And then he said, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, which we do, which we have, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. Wow. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, you are yet in your sins. You know what that means? That means you're still lost. If Jesus died, stayed dead, if he's over in the ground somewhere in Jerusalem, and his body has decayed and his bones have gone back to the earth, we don't have a Savior. But man, you're not going to convince me I don't have a Savior. I've been living for him for a long, long time. I've been reading this book for a long, long time. I've told you all before that there have been, especially when I'm doing Wednesday night Bible studies for some reason, but there are times studying for a Wednesday night Bible study where the Lord will just open up a verse or open up a thought, and I feel like taking my shoes off because I'm standing on holy ground. I know it's not me that saw that. It's the Lord that showed it to me. And that's what he does. All right, so we're yet in our sins. But then, sadly, look at verse 18. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. That means that all of our loved ones who made professions of faith in Christ, if Jesus did not resurrect from the dead, those folks have no hope. They're dead too. They're forever gone. But boy, we know that's not true. For to be absent in the body and to be present with the Lord. Oh, praise God for that promise. I tell you, that's going to be exciting. That's going to be exciting. I think I told you all I had an assistant pastor years ago when I was down in West Virginia, and he developed cancer, and it grew rapidly, and they didn't catch it in time to be able to do anything. So they told him he only had just a few months to live. And David was always a wonderful guy, just a wonderful, wonderful fella. And his wife called and said, Pastor, I don't know if David's going to make it through the night. And so I went to the hospital and wanted to be there with him. And I was standing at the foot of his bed. All right, I stand at the foot of his bed. His wife is here. His best friend growing up was over on this side of the bed. And I stood there. We talked, and then I prayed. David was unconscious. But we prayed together around the bed and asked the Lord to take him and so he wouldn't have to suffer anymore. And when we finished praying, I lifted up my head, and as soon as I finished praying, and David opened his eyes. I mean, opened his eyes like there was nothing wrong with him. And he looked at me, but he didn't look at me. He looked over me. And he smiled from ear to ear. His face lit up. And I went, I thought somebody was behind me. Somebody was. And then he closed his eyes and he was gone. I looked at Marty, his wife, and I said, did you see that? She said, yeah. I said, Mitch, did you see that? Yep. And they both looked at me and said, "What do you think he saw?" And I said, "Well, I think he saw the angels coming to get him."
Amen.
Now, that's not just happened once to me. I've seen that a few times. And I'm going to tell you something, folks. God's real. And if you don't believe it, you stand beside the bed of a saint of God as they go out into eternity. Now, I tell you, I've been on the other end, too. I do not want to ever have to go through that again. One man screaming, "Get him away! Get him away!" and pushing, and then died. Ooh. Ooh. That'll put the fear of the Lord in you. And in verse 19, let me read that. He said, "And if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead." Amen. Folks, that's our message. And we need to go and tell Carroll County and the rest of the world that there's hope and Jesus Christ is that hope. Our hope is in the Lord. And we should never tire of telling that message. I had a young man call me this week, used to go to our church, and he has made a mess out of his life, just a huge mess. And he called me this week, and we talked for about probably close to an hour. And when we got down to the end of it, he was crying. And he said, "Preacher," he said, I just don't know." And I said, "Well, you can know." And he said, "Can you really?" I said, "Yeah. Yes, you can know." And so I took him through the gospel, verse by verse. I said, "Now, do you understand that?" "Yes." I said, "You got this?" "Yes." "All right, this is clear to you?" "Yes." "Yes." And I said, "Now, what did I just say? That whosoever," who does whosoever mean? He said, "Anybody." I said, "Does that mean you?" "Well, yeah, I guess." I said, "Let's back up. See that little word, whosoever?" "Yeah." "Who does that mean?" "Well, I guess everybody. Does it mean you?" He goes, "Oh, yeah, it does mean me, doesn't it?" I said, "Right there is why. Right there is why you don't know for sure you're saved. You see, you were sold a bill of goods when you were a kid. You were sold a bill of goods when you were a kid. You had head knowledge, but you did not have heart knowledge." And I said, "What do you think about giving the Lord Jesus your heart right here, right now?" Oh, he just broke down and cried. Just broke down and cried like a baby. And when he finished crying, he said, "Pastor, I'm ready." I said, "Good, let's pray." And I prayed with him, and he trusted the Lord as his Savior.
Amen.
And it took another 10 minutes to get him convinced that what he did was the real thing, and that Jesus promised if he would believe, that Jesus would save. And I finally got him to see that. And he said, "Well, this is not difficult at all, is it?" I said, "No, it's not difficult at all. As a matter of fact, it's pretty simple."
Yeah.
But thank God for the resurrection, huh? Because that's the foundation for it all. All right, let's bow our heads, please. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for this passage of Scripture where Paul just goes into detail showing us the importance of the resurrection, just using common sense and just pure old reason. And Father, I pray that you will help each and every one of us to see his argument here tonight. And Father, help us to understand that we are saved, that we are on our way to heaven. But Father, we are to take that message and share it with others. Not just to put it in our pocket and say thanks and go on, but no, Father, we are to share it with others. And I pray you'll give us a burdened heart for the souls of men. So bless what's been said tonight, Father. Help us to apply the Word of God and use it for your honor and for your glory. And Father, I don't know. There may be somebody listening tonight on the internet. There may be somebody in this auditorium. I don't know. And they're just not 100% sure that they're saved. Well, Lord, may tonight, may this very service be the service where they put their faith and trust in their Savior, the Lord Jesus. And Father, once we get that settled, oh my, what a wonderful thing it is. So speak to our hearts, Father, we pray. And may the Lord be honored tonight. For it's in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.